campyall.ca virtual newsroom for this week, championship week for 2020. Well, it's funny, Marty and Charlie with you. This week was the end of the second round week. It's also championship week.
Didn't we just start though?
Well, yeah, and then it, you could argue that last week was also like first round week technically. So, yeah, I mean, at this point, you'd like to have a nice natural, you know, run up, Charlie. You know, like the a Super Bowl classic example, right, where these massive spectacle and media days. But unfortunately, we just can't have that. But it's getting pretty close, right?
Yeah, no, I think people are really excited about it. I know I am, obviously, but it's my job to be. And I think there's a lot of people that are like actually just genuinely really excited for this game. Even guys that aren't fans of either Halifax or Forge. This is going to be great, man. It's going to be a really great showcase, I think, for the league and for the sport.
Totally agree. Let's start with Halifax. Halifax Wanderers, their first final as a club.
The People's Club.
As they're known. A huge shout out to Privateers, everyone who, I'm going to say, packed Wanderers grounds last week. They showed up, obviously socially distanced, but that
packed
was
as much as it's safe to do.
A fantastic sight, honestly, and that's going to happen again on Saturday. Super pumped for the people out there that have been supporting this club so well, and then yeah, to get rewarded with what they have here. So let's talk about how they got here for both clubs. For Halifax, they got that result. I guess they technically it was the result against Calvary, the win that eventually sealed it, and then they learned of their fate with that game on Tuesday afternoon. But I think we need to really talk about this 5-0 loss to Pacific because, I mean, heaven forbid, if something bad happens in this game, people are going to point to this game, this previous matchup and say that this was the issue. So obviously Stephen Hart fields a rotated lineup. You can't blame him. This is the only dead rubber game of the entire tournament. And, they lose 5-0. Marco Bustos with 2 goals and 2 assists. Maybe the question, Charlie, is like, was the rest worth the reward?
Yeah, it's a tough question. I think yes is my immediate gut feeling on that, just because of kind of the way Halifax has played and the way they've been successful has been their starters really kind of getting this energetic start right off the get-go and kind of keeping it up for as long as possible. And especially, I think Stephen Hart in the past couple of weeks has been talking about how it's been tough to get rest for guys like Andre Rampersad and Abu Sissoko, and these guys that are so important to the team just have played so much soccer. And now having like a full week off, I think will actually be super useful. And obviously you'd never want to go into a game that doesn't mathematically matter for you and have a guy get injured, right? And I think that's maybe the biggest key. But you never want to lose 5-0. I'm sure they would have been fine, maybe like kind of okay with just forgetting about it if they'd lost a closer game, maybe scored a goal, lost 2-1 or so. But they got thumped, and that's definitely not in anybody's plan as a coach ever, right?
Well, you spoke to Steven after the game, Charlie, and I think I was in that press conference, and I think you asked him, like, how do you frame this to your team? Like, what did he say? Because what do you say to your team at that point, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like I think he kind of went back to the halftime of that game where they're already down 4-0 and they just had their butts kicked for 45 minutes comprehensively. And he kind of framed it like, listen, we're always going to probably lose tonight against a really hungry Pacific team, and it doesn't really matter. But just go out and kind of show some spirit in the second half. You kind of want to at least have some form of momentum going into a championship game. They didn't score a goal, and they still lost the second half. They got scored on again. Stephen Hart was a lot happier with their second half. I'm still not sure that they played that well in the last 45 minutes there to warrant kind of being particularly happy with it. But I think the way that you need to look at this now is, like, you shouldn't just forget about it and move on. You should be like, listen, we pride ourselves as a pretty good soccer team. We just got demolished by a team that's going home now. We're going to a championship game. We need to be angry. We should be really, really ticked off that we just lost that badly. And now we can come in here and kind of redeem ourselves really well, right? All the pressure's on Forge now.
Yeah, it definitely is. I was just going to say, like, the psychology of this, of losing a game before a final, it's super rare in this sport. But I mean, it's maybe different, say, if you're Liverpool and, you know, you throw out the kids before a Champions League final or something. But yeah. This, it just seems like the magnitude of you're only playing 11 games total. One of your 10 games, and it was the last one you played, was a blowout. So maybe that's what magnifies it. I'm not sure.
It does make a difference when, like, now, like, one game at this point before they play the final is 10% of your season, and they got beaten 5-0 in it. I mean, I look back to last season, and one of the last games Forge played before the finals was also a dead rubber against York 9, and they also got their butts handed to them. Is 4-0, and then they went on and won 3 in a row against Cavalry, and two of them were in the finals. So, I mean, I guess some good teams really can just kind of, like, they know when to turn it on. They don't really let past results affect them that much. But you do have to kind of think that Halifax is newer to this whole being good and contending for titles thing. Technically, Forge was new to it last year as well, but they'd already had some success that year, and they were kind of more successful over a longer season. Halifax had kind of come out of nowhere, weren't even themselves expecting to be in a situation. So it will be really interesting to see at least how they come out of the blocks, I think, on Saturday, whether they're kind of fighting from minute one.
That's a great way of framing it. Because, yeah, Forge, ironically, they made the final after beating Cavalry. We should mention an injury-ravaged team in the Cavs, and ultimately probably deserved more out of this entire process, but we can get to them in a later episode. But yeah, Forge beats, takes down Cavalry 1-0. That Becker Babouli goal, brilliant. Obviously, I'm sure everyone watching this and listening to this has already seen it. What's your thoughts on their run-in, Charlie? Because, like, ultimately they're unbeaten in like 5 games. They've only lost once in the tournament against York 9. What's your thoughts on this run-in? It seems positive.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to really explain Forge at the moment, I think, because they're just extremely consistent. Most of their games seem to play out pretty much the exact way that they want them to. They're always, like, gonna have a lot of the ball, unless they choose to give it up. They're pretty much always gonna kind of have a moment or two of attacking quality that puts them on the board, and they just defend extremely well, right? Like, they go up early against Cavalry, and Cavalry, like, they really, I mean, they don't really have any healthy attackers, or wingers at least, and they're still just trying to throw everything at them, and they have like 2 shots on goal in the second half in a must-win game. Forge, like, they just get the job done every time, right? Like, I don't think there's, like, maybe they're not as exciting as, say, the highest heights of Pacific or York 9 or even sometimes Halifax or even Cavalry have been.
York 9 wasn't that exciting this year.
Yeah, no, not really. but the other 3 teams in the top 4 probably have, like, when they go out and they have, like, a kind of a statement win, they wow you, they do something cool, and you kind of watch them throw shot after shot after shot at the net, and you come out of it thinking, wow, that team's attack was really good. But then if you look at the numbers kind of in total, there's no questioning that Forge's attack has been the best, right? They routinely have the most shots. They have scored more than anybody. I actually don't know if they've still scored more than anybody after Pacific scored 5, but
I think they still have.
Yeah, you kind of know what I mean. Like, they're always getting the job done, and even if it's not always kind of like fire wagon back and forth champagne football, like, they're winning games and they're doing exactly what they set out to do, which is maybe the best thing you can say about a team.
We've written quite a bit here on campyall.ca in the lead up to this game, tons of features for you to check out and read before the match here. One that you've done, Charlie, is looking position by position at these two teams. And I think people, if they're going to be lazy, they're going to say Halifax is the underdog. Obviously, Forge is the reigning champion, but it really doesn't seem that way. Especially if you go position by position, you know, if you're going by, like, we'll start with goalkeepers, for example, like Tristan Henry and Christian Ochsner, for me, you can't really choose between them right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of actually, as we record, behind the curtain, still working on this, putting this breakdown together. And I keep going back and forth on which of the two goalies I would give the edge to.
Maybe Henry on recent form, because the game against Pacific late in the first half, there were a few good chances. Cavalry, a bunch of half chances, but really nothing of considerable note. And then if you go all the way back to the first game of the group stage against Halifax, that finish from Akeem Garcia was like brilliant. And I mean, maybe he could have done better on that, but Henry's been solid. But again, Christian Oxner has how many clean sheets, came back off of injury, has been stellar, right? I mean,
kind of, you look at like the total numbers for the tournament, and Henry is, after him and Nacho Zabal from Atletico Ottawa, are kind of on top of all of them. But then you think, well, Tristan Henry's played 9 games and Christian Oxner played 6, right? Mm-hmm. And he kind of had to win. I think he had to come back from an injury, but he also had to get back into the lineup. Whereas Tristan Henry is never challenged. I mean, in his job, Bajman got that one game at the end of the first round to fulfill the under 21 requirements. But Tristan Henry is just like, he doesn't really set a foot wrong. He's not going to give you anything easy. He's going to pretty much jump on any loose ball in the box. He's going to catch all of your crosses, and he's not really afraid to go up for aerials. But the same can probably be said of Christian Oxner, who just, his defenders seem to play a little bit more confidently when they're in front of him. And I know that some of them are new to the team, but even like a guy like Peter Schall, I think, just seems a little bit more comfortable with Oxner because he knows him a lot better and he has a lot of faith in him.
I don't know, maybe we can go through like the defense. Maybe we'll start with midfield, because I saw you put up that poll today on Twitter saying, you know, which pivot would you prefer? Alex Johnsson and Kyle Becker, or Andre Rampersad and Abu Sissoko? I mean,
I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. You wonder. I think it's very premature to say that you would want the Halifax combo, but as you accurately pointed out by putting that poll out, it's really close to call. And even in the back line, right? Like where do you sort of see this position by position thing going, and who do you think is going to get the upper hand and advantage from your perspective?
See, I don't know. See, the midfield is the one that I'm maybe most stuck on, because I look at the back lines and I think Forges is definitely more proven and battle tested, and you definitely have to give them the upper hand, especially if they do have Kwame Awuwa at left back in that back line, or even Max Tissot. I think they do. That's kind of Forge's greatest strength, in my opinion, or at least the greatest strength in their starting 11, is the way that they can defend and just pass the ball through their center backs. Like Daniel Kurtz and David Egger are both among the best passers in the entire league, and they're playing next to each other at center back the whole game, and they're comfortable kind of cycling it forward. They'll make little runs, and somebody like Johnsson will drop back all the time to cover Kurtzen, which is kind of frustrating when you're watching, because they look sort of similar, so you're wondering why he's over there. But yeah, that's the one you'd give the edge to Forge to, and then I think in the attack you give the edge to Halifax, just because they have three, if you count their number 10 as Morelli, then they have four guys that you know who's going to play. They've been successful all tournament. Akeem Garcia is probably going to score on Saturday, if we're being realistic. Whereas Forge has had like 11 different players play in their front three. They haven't had a single starting front three in a game that was the same as any other game at the Island Games so far.
Isn't that wild? Because even if you look like, Monty Boson's played there, Johnny Grant appeared there against Pacific, obviously a great choice, but I think the Halifax attack is the most lethal that we've ever seen in the CPL. Because if you think back across the entire breadth of last season, sure, I mean, Cavalry had some like decent runs, but if you look at an attacking core that managed to score 10 goals in 10 games, essentially. Mm-hmm. That's super rare in this league. So let's talk about Garcia and Morelli. Because, like you said, like they'll probably score. Do they have to score for Halifax to be successful at this point?
Probably. Or at least they have to, at least one of them has to create a goal. Whether it's kind of, I think they've both set up other guys, whether it's Alex Marshall or Corey Bent or Rigi or somebody like that. The thing that maybe strikes me about Halifax is, like, they have no right having this much chemistry, right?
Yeah.
Like, so many of these attackers are completely new to the team. They're new to each other. Like, some of them are new to Canada. They, but, like, just the way that they counterattack, like, they seem to be hitting their runs at the right times. They know where the runner's going to be. Maybe it's a product of having a fairly kind of simple, straightforward, direct attack, but they're always really in sync, especially Morelli and Garcia, who seem to be just on the same page pretty much whenever one of them has the ball in a counterattack.
It's funny, in all the pieces that we've written for CanPL.ca so far, I think most of them, the majority of them, have mentioned the first stage game between Halifax and Forge, and specifically the first 5 minutes of that game. Sorry, second stage. This is a second stage game. Go back and just watch the first 5 minutes, because as you recall, Akeem Garcia scores to give Halifax the lead. That game eventually ended up 1-1. But look at the way that they press and how much on the back foot Forge is. And specifically, Ashton Odie-Johnson. He was burned twice in under 3 minutes. It was a back pass and intercepted. And then, as you mentioned, Charlie, with the chemistry, just watch how Garcia and Morelli converge on him at exactly the same time. And when they win the ball, how quick Garcia is to sprint and see the space. Because, I mean, Edgar and Crutzen are quite good, and they were quite spread out, but they closed that space as quickly as they possibly could. And realistically, Garcia was maybe 35 yards out, but, like, it's scary. It's scary when you watch that and you say that Ashton Odie-Johnson legitimately has a chance to be a best 11 player. Sorry, that was my phone. It just be a best 11 player in this tournament, and how quickly that could be undone.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point about the first 5 minutes of that group stage game between these teams. Because I think heading into that game, I remember we asked Bobby Smyrniotis about the press that Halifax had done in some games. And he said, well, they didn't do it when they played us. And he didn't seem to be all that impressed with the way that they played against Forge in their first game of the tournament, and then they absolutely did this time around. And I don't know if that was, to be honest, what Forge was expecting from them, but it really worked out for I think we have to probably say that Halifax might have deserved to win that game, especially considering the way that Forge got their goal, right?
They absolutely, I think Halifax
is better. Yeah.
Absolutely did. So okay. So maybe we'll go into that, into the Forge game plan, because I mean, the best way for Halifax to play is to press. And the best way for Forge to play, historically anyways, is to keep possession. But after that game against Halifax, this is something that we've noted and written about on the website, where the next game out, they took on Pacific FC. They won. But that game, Forge had 32% possession of the ball, which is the lowest in any match Bobby Smyrniotis has ever managed in the CPL by far, by I think like 5 or 6 percentage points, which after the game, the question for him, for me anyways, was like, what the hell was that? Yeah. And reading between the lines, it's pretty clear he just wants something else in his back pocket to pull out if Halifax decides to do something different or they need to have a different look. And for me, that would be maybe enough for Stephen Hart to second guess and say, well, if you can see that Johnny Grant's going to play on the left wing, and against Pacific, his entire job was to get in behind Caden Chung because Chung was trying to come up and support Marco Bustos. And, you know, if there's the space in behind and you have a fast player and like you Forge is playing long ball all of a sudden, at what point, for me anyways, like at what point do you, that is what makes Forge the favorites for me. Is the versatility there, right?
That Johnny Grant thing was kind of genius, wasn't it? Like he comes back from injury after missing like most of their games, and he's usually their number one right back, and he comes in and he's playing left wing, and it works ridiculously well. it was insane. So I think we know that a Bobby Smyrniota's team is not going to be heavily outpossessed unless they want to be,
yeah,
or expect to be, and it's part of their game plan. Which, yeah, like it may be something that they're thinking about right now, because I think when we look at the game Halifax played against Cavalry in a second round, they go up, they're a man up in the first half, and then just by nature of Cavalry having a man down, they have to sit a little bit further back and give up a little bit more possession. And I don't know if Halifax is particularly comfortable playing with a ton of possession, because you can't really play maybe as quickly as you want to or as directly as you want to when the other team's just going to sit back on you. So it is going to be kind of interesting to see how Forge maybe approaches it. I don't know if Forge is going to think that it's enough of a problem to drastically change the way they want to play in this final. But I mean, we've seen it in soccer all over the world, where a team will just pull out something crazy tactically or in their lineup in a championship final just to completely throw you off, right?
Yeah, and I mean, the burden of possession is a term I've heard at this tournament, and it makes so much sense when you apply it to the right team.
Yeah, you're going to be a counterattacking team, you can't counterattack if you always have the ball.
Yeah, so just something to look out for on Saturday. We should mention 2 p.m. Eastern time, 3 p.m. Atlantic on CBC and One Soccer. That is going to be a fantastic game. We'll have loads of reaction on the website after, and then we'll do one of these on Monday as well to recap everything. Okay, big questions. I've only got two. The first one, let's start with Mo Mabouli first. So does Mo Mabouli start for Forge on Saturday?
I'm going to say no. And okay, I kind of put some thought into this. The way that Bobby Smyrniotis explained the choice to start Mabouli in their last game against Cavalry was that it wasn't about rotation. It wasn't about just giving him another chance or getting the freshest guy out there. He said that he thought that the way that Mabouli plays was the best way to play against Cavalry. Both times that Halifax has played Forge, they've started Anthony Novak at striker. And Novak's only started, I think it's four or five of the games in the number nine role, and two of them were against Halifax. So that maybe leads me to believe that tactically, at least, Bobby feels that Novak gives them more there. I don't know if he thinks it's a size thing or what it is, but I do think that Novak has probably had a slightly better tournament. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you'd actually agree with me, but that's kind of what I felt.
I would agree, I think. I mean, yeah. Mabouli, as we all know, he's great in flashes. Shout out to the Hydro Pole out on Vancouver Island, who had to eat his words when he switched his avatar on Twitter to the Forge logo after saying Mabouli wouldn't score. And that post was like months ago, so credit to him
for following through.
But yeah, you're right. He's a streaky player, right? And yeah, maybe with Novak, I mean, maybe what makes Novak more steady is that he plays, I don't want to use the term like conservatively as a striker, but he's a little bit more predictable in a certain sense.
Yeah, he's a little bit more traditional as a striker, maybe. He's not necessarily gonna try and do a whole bunch of little like flicks and step overs and things like Mabouli might, that he might have picked up in his indoor soccer days. I don't know. I think also Novak has probably earned the right to start in a final, just based on what he's kind of given to the club over 2 years now. So I think that you probably go with the guy that you maybe know a little better. And then if you have a guy with Babuli's talent coming off the bench, like that's definitely not a bad thing, right? He's definitely capable of coming in and maybe taking over in the attack.
Well, and as we can see, he's great to break a press because he's got the pace, right? And especially mm-hmm. moving in between the lines. So,
especially yeah. against a tired team late in the game.
Exactly. Okay, and then the second and final question here. Do we think these coaches wear a tie on Saturday? Because we haven't seen many ties. I'm not saying draws. I mean,
but we've seen lots of draws.
Yeah. I mean, you know, ties, which it makes sense because, you know, I'm not gonna bring like a multiple suits, multiple shirts, and obviously ties to to a hotel for a couple months or a month and a half. Are we going to see a tie or to release Steven Hart or Bobby Smyrniotis on Saturday?
See, I think I'm going to say definitely not for Bobby.
Okay.
he's we've seen him in elimination games and in finals before, and he absolutely just isn't interested. He loved his, I remember finals last year, he loved his parka and his hat and his scarf. And he looked very happy with that. I don't know, have we seen Steven Hart in a tie?
For some reason, I can think of, yeah.
I can't think of it. So maybe not. I think we might get a real casual island vibe in the final. Which I really want someone to come out there with like shorts and a Hawaiian shirt or something, just really hit the island thing.
But then it's like, I think it's gonna be somewhere around like 12 degrees or something. Isn't it crazy how much the weather changed out there? And like, I mean, hurricane season as well. We're gonna get some winds, it looks like, on Saturday. So maybe that wouldn't fit exactly then, but
yeah, maybe not.
Okay. Actually, you know what we should do also? We should mention the penalties. For people at home to clear it up. So after 90 minutes, no extra time, it's gonna go straight to penalties. Your reaction to that? I think that overall it's maybe disappointing for fans and for players as well, because at this point this is your entire season that goes down to 11 games, and no one wants to see anything end in penalty kicks, but especially something that's there's so much riding on, right? Canadian Championship, etc. But
yeah, I mean if you're a fan of a team, you definitely you're never going to be happy if your season ends in penalty kicks, right? I think there's probably plenty of Toronto FC fans watching here that'll agree with that. But I don't know. As a neutral fan, if you're a casual fan, like, they are fairly exciting. Like, if you're going to stumble onto the CBC broadcast of this game and you watch it go to a penalty shootout, I think they are kind of hard to hate.
Yeah. what I will say is, yeah, that they're easy to hate for me.
You don't. You can disagree.
Yeah. I'll gladly disagree on that. But I mean, what I would say is this might end up leading to a little bit more attacking play at the end of the game. Because when I think about what Bobby and what Steven really are about with these clubs and with these players is obviously they want to play the game in the right way. No one's trying to nick results here and there. They're trying to make a good product, right? And that's something that even Bobby said to us after the last game that they played on CBC against Pacific, that late winner. Or the first game on CBC. So I hope that if it's close, you know, with maybe 80 minutes to go, we might see some like attacking substitutions and you might try to go for it. That might produce a good product ultimately, but
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it also would be just so classic if this tournament ends in penalties, just with how many penalties there's been. It's a good point, though. I also think if you're Forge, you really don't want to go to a penalty shootout here.
No.
I think, honestly, that suits Halifax a little bit better. I mean, not only because Oxnard has saved more penalties in his CPL career, including against Kyle Becker last year.
Oh, right.
Yeah. He's also saved one in this tournament, which Henry hasn't. I think he saved one in his CPL career. Or did he save one in the CONCACAF League as well, maybe?
Maybe, can't yeah. remember.
But I think a penalty shootout is a lot more of a worry for Forge. Just based on the way that they want to play, they want to kind of dominate a game and win it very comprehensively. They don't want to really leave anything to chance like that.
Yeah,
and I think Halifax's attackers are stepping up to the penalty spot. Man, I'd be worried.
Especially, yeah. 19 penalties in 34 games, and half of all games played on PEI have had a penalty in it. At least one. A couple with two.
Yep.
And I end it. Had enough. And I've had enough of...
No more. Yeah.
And I've had enough of this episode as well. Okay, we'll be back on Monday to recap... recap the Island Games 2020 CPL final. Again, that's 2 p.m. Eastern time, 3 p.m. Atlantic time on CBC and on One Soccer. Be sure to tune in, and we'll have lots to talk about after. Yep. Okay, see everybody.